you from the team from the Hub. We're very excited about that ministry. And now that last night's game is over, I can join many of you in the rest of the postseason to be a sincere 49er fan. And so it goes. Our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 15. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to it. Otherwise, we have it available for you in your bulletin and also on the screen. And if you're able to, I'd like to invite you to stand as we hear God's holy word. John 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, Jesus says. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Let's respond with thanksgiving. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. It's been my practice for a number of years to share and choose a year verse. I share the verse that I choose to remind you that I, as your pastor, and all of us who are pastors at Valley Springs, and if you're visiting from another church, your pastor at your home church needs your prayers. We need your prayers because we need to keep growing in our walk with Christ. And I choose a year verse to give me a focus for the year, an angle on something that can help me to be asking God to do certain things in my life. And so I focus in on a passage or a verse that speaks to my heart about something that's not there or something that should be there or something that's missing. And I give my attention to that passage for the year, and I like to share it with the congregation so that you would pray for me and that you would pray for the other pastors in our own needs to grow in our walk with Christ. I also want to encourage you to have a forming of your spiritual life in process. That if you're a believer today, that you not take your believing status for granted, but that you push yourself, you challenge yourself, you try to reform yourself to be more of what Jesus wants in your life. And God gives us seasons in which to continually renew just the daily cycle, the pattern of dark and light, of sleep and waking time, is an opportunity for a daily renewal, to get up in the morning and renew yourself. God's given us a weekly pattern with Sabbath. And in that weekly pattern, we have this opportunity to rejoice as Christians in the resurrection all over again each Lord's Day when we come together and allow the power of the resurrection to reform my thinking and reshape my orientation for the next week. Then we have other seasons, seasons of months, and from the Old Testament calendar, we know there were seasons of weeks and months in which people could renew themselves, and then there are annual feasts. But that yearly focus for us with a calendar is we're in a new year. And what is God wanting to do in your life? What is God wanting to do in my life? The fears that grip you, that keep you from being the person that you know you could be if that fear were not so debilitating. And it's not just the fear, it's the thing you fear. It's not just the feeling of fear, which is debilitating, but the very thing that you fear, whether it's another person, whether it's your future, whether it's a relationship that's not working properly. How do you bring that to God? How does that become a focus for you in a week or in a month or in a season or in a year? You may be somebody right now who really needs comfort. And you've not verbalized that to anyone else. You haven't even verbalized that to yourself or to God. But I'm encouraging you to pause, to put it on pause and be still. What comfort do you need? What's broken inside? What kind of balm do you need that really only God can give you? And how do you find that? How do you chase that down? How do you pursue God? There may be some way that you need to be challenged this year because of a laziness that's in your life, because you're not growing in a certain area, because you have taken certain things for granted, maybe a relationship, maybe a person, maybe an opportunity. You've seen something on TV, or you've seen something in a movie, you've read something in a book, or you've watched the Scanlons and the Hookers stand up here talking about how they're using their lives for God, and you say, gee, I need fresh challenge in my life. What's been my practice is to try to identify those things and then allow a Bible passage that speaks to that to speak into my life and to read that passage on a regular basis, to allow that passage to be a guide and a direction. You may be here today and you're struggling with lust. It's gotten a hold of you. Your life is somewhat, in reflective moments, being destroyed by the power of lust. I want to challenge you to go after God in the ways that God teaches us to go after Him. You may be struggling with greed. You may be working with anger toward another person or toward a circumstance. Anger toward God because of some event in your life that's so significant, a loss, a disappointment. Do you want to stay there? Generally speaking, time all by itself doesn't heal. God heals. And sometimes God uses time, but it's usually not just time. If it's just time, it's usually under the carpet and pushed into the corner. That's what time does. It helps us forget. But if there's going to be healing, God's the one who heals, and He does do it over time, but He does it in the lives of disciples who go after Him, who seek Him, who pursue Him, who take their walk before Him seriously. So I want to challenge you in regard to your own spiritual formation and walk this year. I've been blessed by passages and verses that have really been impactful for me. Several years ago, I chose Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. And I prayed this verse every day that year, not in the past tense, but in the future tense. Lord, give me a well-instructed tongue. Lord, help me to know the word that sustains the weary, whether it's sitting with somebody one-on-one in my office trying to counsel or doing large group counseling like we do here every Sunday in preaching. Waken me, Lord, morning by morning. Waken my ear to listen like one who's really being instructed by you. Help me to hear you today. Another year, Luke 8, 11 to 18. Jesus' parable of the soil and how each of those who heard the word, heard the word. They heard it. We see it here, the seed of the word of God, those along the path are the ones who hear. Nothing good happened. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. Didn't make any difference. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but things interfered. But the good seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word. Like everybody else, they hear the word, but they retain it and by persevering produce a crop. And then Jesus says, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Lord, help me this year to listen to you. Not just to hear the scriptures, to read the scriptures, talk about the scriptures. Help me to hear the scriptures. Help me to hear the scriptures so that I might retain the scriptures. Hear you speak to me and truly persevere so that a crop may be produced in my life, in my family, in the life of our community here at Valley Springs. Another year, my namesake, Psalm 78, 72, and David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands, he led them. Lord, may I shepherd this congregation with integrity of heart. May what I do in private, may my conversations alone, may my thought life be at the core of integrity. May I shepherd this congregation with integrity of heart. Give me the skills I need as a leader. I want to be skilled. Give me skills. Help me to be open. Help me to read widely. Help me to spend time with people who can guide me and instruct me. Acts 13, 36. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. My daughter leaned to my wife that year and said, "Who preaches that kind of stuff?" Falling asleep means dying. So, David, are you planning to die this year? When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he died. No, I really wasn't hoping to die that year, but I was hoping to serve God's purpose in my generation that year. 2 Timothy 4, 5. Paul says to Timothy, a young pastor, "But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Lord, may that be true in my life this year. Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says, "Stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." We looked at that verse just a couple of weeks ago as we were looking forward to begin the year, but it was a year verse 5 years ago for me. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in all or in every good work." All grace, all sufficiency, all circumstances, every good work. That was my prayer 2 years ago. This past year. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or the servant of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And as you may recall, if you were here at the beginning of last year, it was an opportunity after that first year with my mom no longer here, having died on December 31st, 2010, it gave me an opportunity to reflect on from whom I had learned the Scriptures, my mom. And what's this big narrative in my life? How is God moving me, and how did God start me? And who has influenced me both in childhood and in elementary school, and my primary Sunday school teacher, grades 1, 2, and 3 at Alden Union Church, and my youth group leaders, and my InterVarsity leader at university, and Francis Schaeffer, as I shared, and Westminster Seminary, and professors, and pastors, and Jack Miller, and then people from a distance like John Stott, or Elizabeth Elliott. These people who've helped form me and shape me, and for what? What has God brought me to? And it's about growing in the Holy Scriptures and sharing the Holy Scriptures so that I, as a servant of God, may be competent and equipped for every good work. And I can see God using that verse and that passage in my life this past year. And so I just want to encourage you to move forward in your walk with God in 2013. If you want to share my verse with me, John 15:5, I don't have a monopoly on it. It's yours for the taking. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm anal enough that I divided this, my own translation, four words, a phrase, and seven phrases, and it kind of works for me to have I am the vine, you are the branches, whoever abides in me, I in you, will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That really works for me as I memorize it and try to let it wash over me, and it actually fits the Greek the way it was intended, so it's fine with me. What strikes me about this analogy is how powerful the analogy is. Vine and branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches. What a powerful word picture. And here Jesus is defining who the vine is and who the branches are. And he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to them in this phenomenal period in his earthly ministry. He's just about to be betrayed. This appears to be the night before a passage, in the passage of John 13 through John 17. And he's sharing his heart with his apostles. And he is telling them that even though he is going away, he intends for them to be connected to him. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, not just in the next 2 hours until I die, but whoever abides in me on into the future, and I in you, I in them, will bear much fruit. Apart from me, remember this, a year from now, 2 years from now, 8 years from now, when you're not seeing my face anymore, when I'm at the right hand of the Father, apart from me, you can do nothing of the things that I want you to do. No, you'll be able to do all kinds of things apart from me. But the things that I want you to do, the things that are going to make a difference, the bearing fruit, apart from me, you can do nothing. He's saying it's about relationship with him that's dynamic and powerful and forming, shaping, influential, directing, guiding, motivating, empowering. Apart from me, you could do nothing. As we mentioned several weeks ago, the great leaders of human history, the Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Marx, it's only Jesus who says you can only be my disciple and be fruitful by having a relationship with me. Buddha wouldn't say that. Marx would never say that. Muhammad didn't say that. It's what they're teaching. It's their writings. It's the guide that they've written down. Christianity is not like that. It's not this book. And this is the Word of God. And it's a powerful book and a very important book. But it's not this book. It's Jesus. And it's his words. And we can't know Jesus without knowing his words. But it still is Jesus and not a book. Abiding in me. For Marx, it's writings. For Muhammad, it's writings. For Buddha, it's what's been written about him. But for Jesus, it's connecting to him. And we're taught how to do that. We're guided in how that happens. We're preaching from this book this morning. We're actually speaking from Jesus' own words. And he talks about the importance of his words abiding in us. But it's still abiding with Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Why do I choose this verse? Well, you know why I choose this verse. Often I'm more like a go-kart with no floor and my feet going so fast to get me from one place to the next. Jesus says, I've given you an engine and I want to be the gasoline. Fill up. Every day, all the time. Not just on truth. Yes, on me. On me. Feed on me. Live in me. Trust in me. Walk with me. Let me guide you. It's interesting also that the analogy of a vine is not a new analogy. A lot of what we read in Jesus' teaching takes us back to the Old Testament. In Psalm 80, we're reminded that Israel and Judah are a vine. Isaiah 5 specifically says, I planted my vine to be Israel and to be Judah, the house of Israel, the men of Judah are the vine, are the vineyard, and God says, I looked for fruit and there wasn't any. There was bloodshed and there was injustice. And then Jesus comes along in John 15, 1 and says, I am the vine. I am the true vine. What Israel couldn't do, what Israel didn't do, I am here to do. What God intended in his covenant with Abraham, I have come to fulfill no matter how it was blown in the Old Testament. Redemption is going to happen, and it's going to happen through me. And I am the true vine, and I want you to be connected to me. We're starting something new. We're going to change the world. But we can't do it if you're going to rely on your own strength. The vine in the Old Testament did that. That's the story of Israel. That's the story of the house of Judah. We're going to do something different. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the one. So I ask you to pray for me that more of this would be true in my life. I ask you to pray for the other pastors, that more of this would be true in our lives, for the other leaders here at Valley Springs, for one another, for yourself, that more of this would be true in our life via relationship with Jesus. God's vision for you, God's vision for me, God's vision for all of Jesus' disciples, is that we bear much fruit. bearing much fruit. A relationship that produces fruit through the relationship. Not a motivational talk. Through the relationship itself, fruit is born. It's really important to make that distinction between simply being motivated by a preacher or by a teacher or by somebody else or somebody on TV or whatever, Francis Chan at Bayside this morning, or someone else that you love. We may all speak the truth. But it's not the speaker. It's not the preacher. It's not the motivational talk. It's the relationship with Jesus. God's vision for you is to bear much fruit in abiding with Jesus through this relationship. When we don't thrive in the relationship, when we don't stoke the relationship with fuel, when we don't grow in the relationship, when it's not the relationship that's working, but other things, past memory, guilt, I should do this, 2013 is going to be better than 2012 because I'm going to stop doing this and I'm going to start doing this, I'm going to go to that budgeting class that Heidi Scanlon is going to teach, I'm going to start budgeting my money, that's all good. But what he's asking for is that you bear fruit that comes through a relationship with him. That's what he's asking for me. We look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." One of the bearings in your life is this bearing of fruit of joy. A joy that's not dependent on everything working and everything being good and everything fitting, but a joy that comes from this relationship with Jesus. Verse 17, he says, "These things I command you so that you will love one another, even though you don't want to, even though you don't like the people around you, even though you'd rather be somewhere else doing something else with somebody else, that you would love people supernaturally." Twice in the passage we read, Jesus talked about the power of answered prayer. In verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." This relationship that involves talking and communicating and engaging, that you're actually in relationship with a living Savior, not a dead hero who's been written about, but a living Savior who wants to know you and who wants to be known by you. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. It's the fruit that's born in the life. As I was studying this past week, it dawned on me, one of the church fathers who, as far as we know, was a disciple of the Apostle John, who lived from the end of the first century into the middle of the second, with the oddest name, his name is Polycarp, and we've talked about him a few times here, and it just hit me where his name comes from. It's a Greek name. Poly means much, and carp is not fish. It's fruit, carpus, Greek word for fruit. We don't know if his Christian parents, who were followers of the way, named him Polycarp as a Christian name, or whether that name was applied to him later in life. He ended up being a bishop in Smyrna, in what was present-day Izmir, Turkey, was a disciple of the Apostle John, and gave his life as a martyr. And when he was at the stake that he was going to be burned at and being commanded again to denounce Jesus as his Lord and to proclaim Caesar as his Lord, and then he would be released, he again said no, And he said, for 86 years, I have walked with him, and he has walked with me, and he has never failed me. I cannot deny him. Polycarp never met Jesus face to face the way John had, but he knew Jesus. A man who was named for bearing much fruit. How do we abide in Christ? In verse 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Without me, there's nothing that you can do. How do we abide in Christ? Well, first of all, notice in verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I believe the first way and the primary way that we abide in Christ is to abide in his love. And to abide in his love or remain in his love means to continually remind yourself how much he loves you. What is his love? And we look at if you look at all the writers and the disciples who followed Jesus, those who bore much fruit are those who were stuck on the love of Christ at the cross. We see that with Peter. Oh, Peter, he can't even get into chapter 2 without talking in 1 Peter about the precious blood of Christ that redeemed him. You can't move very far along in your doctrinal or theological development and get anywhere that is meaningful without stopping at the cross, the precious blood of Christ. If you notice on the front of your bulletin, we see this is where Paul's head is at. He's stuck here in Ephesians 3, 14 and 18 and 19. We've looked at this passage several times in the fall. I spoke on it early in the fall. Brad spoke on it later in the fall as secondary references in our sermons. Paul says, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. What does he pray to the Father? What's the bottom line of Paul's prayer for the Ephesians? The bottom line of his prayer for them, that you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ. May you experience it, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You'll bear fruit. Part of that love is loving what he loves. Part of what he loves is this book. Jesus loves this book. He loved the Old Testament. He spoke about the Old Testament. And so part of loving him and part of being enveloped by his love is letting this book have its way in your life, letting this book reach into your life. He who loves me will love my commands. He who loves my commands will love me. The two go together. If you're going to be a branch that's abiding in the vine, a true branch that's really getting nurturance from the vine is going to be feeding off of the love of Christ. The difference between a branch and a human being is that a branch has no will. We have will. You don't tell a branch to abide in a vine. It just does it automatically. But you have to tell people, abide in me. You're like a branch. I'm like a vine. But you need to make a decision to be a branch that's going to be producing fruit. And it means you need to be into me. And you need to be into my love, and you need to let my love transform you, and you need to let my love be the biggest love in your life, bigger than any love you're seeking from a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a parent or a child or an ex or a colleague. Feed on his love. That's what Paul's secret was. That's what Peter's secret was. That's why they bore much fruit. They fed on the love of Christ. And finally, prayer. If it's a relationship, there's going to be prayer. I'm not saying anything new. I'm not telling myself anything new. But I need to hear what I'm saying to you. I need to hear this. I want this. I want this fruit bearing that comes not from know-how, technique, or I can do this with my hand tied behind my back because I've done it so many times. I can lead this church, blah, blah, blah. I can look like a Christian, blah, blah, blah. I can turn over a new leaf, blah, blah, blah. No. Fruit that's born that only Jesus can bear in me as I abide in him. As we close today, I just want to give you some helps that our book center has. Rick Warren's little book, What on Earth Am I Here For? It's a little digest of purpose-driven life. We have both books. They're such basic reminders of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a human being. If you're looking to get started, that's a great place to get started. Sarah Young's devotional called Jesus Calling, and it's through the year. We have it in our book center, and just getting exposed to Jesus through his word. This wonderful book on prayer called The Ministry of Intercession by this great saint, a missionary in South Africa named Andrew Mary from the last century. It's training for prayer warriors. Wonderful. Sally Lloyd-Jones' book called Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing with a foreword by Tim Keller, and it just goes through and has an angle on the universe and the world and what we do every day from a God perspective that helps you see life through the lens of Scripture. And then, of course, we've shared this many times, the Jesus Story Book Bible, which serves as part of the curriculum for our grades 1 through 5 right now, but we have it available in the lobby. It takes you all the way through the Bible and lets you see Jesus, as it says, on every page, so that Jesus becomes more to you. Let's pray for one another, 2013. Let's abide in Christ. Let's let him abide in us. And let's bear much fruit, for apart from him, we can do nothing. Please pray with me. Lord, hear our prayer this morning. Instruct us, not just in our ears, but in our hearts. Move us to be the men and women you want us to be. Help us to be a team, a family who prays for one another, grows together, and in all things you be glorified, we pray. In your most holy name.